Well, I'm sure some of you are wishing we were back in the life of David. It was so much easier, wasn't it? And then you thought, oh no, that was hard too. But Genesis is tough, and I've put it off for a long time because it is a lot to grasp as we deal with the Trinity. And I don't know how to explain the Trinity, or I really don't know what I'm doing, in other words. So we're all learning together, and I think that's the main thing. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, we thank you for your precious word. Lord, it brought all of creation into existence, and it's recreated us to be your children. Lord, what an awesome thought that is. To think that this is all so temporary, and one day that we're going to be with you forever. Oh God, help us to come to grips with that, especially in the age that we live in. We need to have that sure anchor. We need to have that firm foundation. We need to be delivered from looking at other things or looking at the latest polls or stats. Oh God, give us a hunger and a thirst for you and your presence, because that's where we find everything. And thank you, Lord. It's all found in you. And we want to give you praise this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. God brought about change on planet Earth, not only through the advanced preparation of the Spirit of God, but through the daily proclamation of His Word. God said 10 times. So what do you think His voice sounded like? Oh, come on, what did you ask a question like that for? Because. That's the way I think. I thought maybe it was like a still small voice whispering in the darkness. No, I don't think so either. Maybe it was like rushing waters or beautiful music. Maybe it was all of these. I put down for my answer a thundering out of commands. So, but then I remember that in the book of Revelation and in Hebrews, it tells us that a two-edged sword went out of his mouth. That's a little scary. So, anyway, one day we'll know that voice, because my sheep hear my voice and they respond. However it went forth every day, it was received, and every day change took place in response, until day after day the earth was transformed from emptiness to fullness of life and beauty. And then I asked myself the question, is my life empty? Do you want to experience real lasting, God-pleasing change so that you are filled with satisfaction, peace, joy, and love, and purpose, and the abundant life? But didn't the Lord promise us that, the abundant life? Then don't look to a drug, or a pill, or a few glasses of wine, or a church, or even a weekly Bible study. You look to the Word of God yourself. Get into it. I told the evening class last week, I said I'd like to give a test to my day class and ask them to write down the Ten Commandments when you come in without opening it up. And then how do those 10 fulfill the Lord's 2? Would you be able to tell somebody how to dress? Would you be able to tell someone how to walk out of Ephesians? That's a good question. You know, we take, my Bible's on the shelf and it's right there and I can pick it up anytime and I can look up anything I want. Oh, really? You know who elevated women is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know who takes it down is Islam. They want to cover us all up and have us all wear burqas. Sometimes I think that might be no. But they want to implement Sharia law. Okay? Oh, that won't happen here in the United States. Oh, no. It's already happened. There's 2,200 mosques. They've really are heavily infiltrated in the Midwest. And there's many judges in our land that are accepting Sharia law. And that is a heartbreak. But there's, see, it's no vacuum with the Lord. If we have an empty spot, something else is going to come in. So we need to know the Word of God. And that's why I say, we have a lot of little crutches, but make sure your crutch is the Word for yourself. You should have verses written out, or at least with initials, with their name of unsaved loved ones in your Bible, so that you can turn there and claim those verses in prayer. It's so important. God's Word is so powerful. It has not lost its power since the beginning of time. Whoa. The same power that transformed planet Earth from void, dark, and empty to that which is teeming with life is available today to change and fill our empty lives. Verse 3, it says, God said, let there be light. What kind of light? Sun, moon, stars? Oh no, they didn't come till the fourth day. I was really taken with this when I was writing these lessons last summer and said, oh, I think we'll stop here and do a lesson on light. So next week we go in a little different vein. Just give me some slack. Actually, I think it's easier than studying Genesis. So I think Genesis is tough. Well, in heaven, did you know there's no need for sun, moon, stars, because the light of God's glory will illumine everything. And then in, let's look at verse 4 and 5. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And he separated the two. God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. And so I made a mental note. Okay, where does that light come from? So that's how the next week's lesson came out of. But, you know, the unfolding of God's Word gives light. And I sat in a Bible study about a year and a half, before I even allowed it in. And I kept looking at it, because my church had told me that it was the only true church and none of these others were true. So I was very cautious. And so I examined everything. And, you know, you can do the very same thing. The Word of God is truth, and you can examine every page of it. There's nothing that will follow you up ever. God gives light and he gives understanding to the simple. And I wrote that down because I was really simple. I had never studied the Word of God. I had never opened a Bible. And I was 31 years old. So if God can get through this knucklehead, he can get through anybody. So how much light do you have, and where do you go for light? I thought about that. We look an awful lot to the world, don't we? What's the latest polls? You know, what does man think? Well, John's gospel tells us in him was life, and the life was the light of men. His life is our light, our meaning and reason for living, our fulfillment and satisfaction and joy and peace. So again, I ask the question, where do you look for light? It's so easy to go in the wrong place. Well, you need to look to that word, Jesus. He is the Word. He is the light. The Bible is the revelation or the unveiling of Jesus Christ. You have to know in the Old Testament, it's all pictures of what the New Testament is all about. I'm just going to give you this. If you want a copy of this, I may make some for us. This is how I wanted to ask that question on the second side of your lesson. You would have killed me if I did. So, I just have it down simply, scripture, day, what was made. Did you find trouble with trying to figure out what was made on which day? unless your Bible spelled it out and made it easy, I thought it was difficult to separate it out. Anyway, I can make some copies of this, but the thing that I want to point out to you is, where's Jesus? And you have to know that in the Old Testament, he's on every page. How we got our canon today, how we got our Bible, is because it always points to Christ. If it doesn't, it wasn't included. So I don't care how many times you hear about the Gospel of Thomas on PBS or some other place, just toss it, because it was not included. It wasn't even written when the other parts of our Bible were. Anyway, I just wanted to point out the light. Jesus is the light of the world. Talks about water. Jesus is the living water. The earth, sea, and all vegetation is the Lord gives new life. Sun, moon, and stars, he is the sun of righteousness, found in Malachi. And then the sea life, fowls, and so on. We have so many riches in Christ, it just shows the abundance that we have in him. In all animals and man, we have the first and last Adam. Anyway, I'll make some copies of this. And then the day of rest, the Sabbath day, is really important to realize. We rest in the cross. And if you are laboring and struggling, you need to bring those burdens to him. He wants to take them. Satan, of course, wants to attack scriptures. And I think probably the book of Genesis has been more attacked than anything else. But careful, don't listen to it. Because it's really an attack upon Jesus. Satan's attack is on the Word of God. It's always on the Word of God. If you're struggling with a problem and you think, well, I should read my Bible, or I should look for some verses in Psalms or someplace to encourage my heart, and then you think, I think I'll watch this TV program. I'll read this novel. And we get so distracted so easily. And God is just calling to you, wanting you to be in his Word. So it started with Eve. When Satan questioned God's word, and we'll be picking that up in a few lessons, but Satan has not changed. He still goes the same route. He tries to question God's word and get us off track. That was one thing I gave you last week, and I meant to write it out, and I finally did this week. Remember, Jesus said, if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me. And I just wanted to give you an affirmation. You can do your own research on this. Matthew 19, 45, Jesus is talking about marriage, and he's quoting Genesis 2:24. And in Mark 12:26, he claims to be the I Am, and that came out of Exodus. And Matthew 8:4, he heals the leper. And that comes from Leviticus, also Deuteronomy. And John, he quotes Numbers. That's when Moses made the brass serpent and held it up for the people, and they were spared while they looked at it. John 8, John 17, 7 talks about adultery. And anyway, Jesus quotes Moses, five books, where'd that come from? All five books. And it's good to know that. Has God said? Satan's still asking that same question. So, pardon me?
Just leave it there for a
minute. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. What's the notation after Deuteronomy?
Well, I have to remember it that way. That's for me. It's when he held up the
leprosy.
LEP stands for leprosy. That's for me. I should have wiped it off. Sorry. And John 8, of course, is the adulterous woman. It's in the first part of the chapter. Jesus was so gentle with her. I just love it. It's always wondered why they didn't go after the man. Takes two. However, that's always bothered me. let's see, I'm lost here. Books of Moses, okay. You know, back in Genesis 1, 6 through 8 is when God separated the waters, and it's important to know this. They believe there was a water canopy over the earth. Today, we have atmosphere out there for about 120 miles, and it's kind of nice to know. It's important to know, though, that scientists believe there was a vapor canopy, and that made the earth like a greenhouse. And so it was a very safe place to live. There was no hurricanes, no tornadoes, no rain, no thunderstorms, no blizzards. And who kept that canopy up? Well, the Lord himself kept it up. And you say, man, that's a lot of pressure. Yeah, that's a lot of pressure. He keeps all this out there. He keeps, as I say, you go out tonight and find the Big Dipper and say, thank you, Lord, for keeping it there. It's not chaos when you look out there. So, yeah, he's very powerful. But you may feel like you're under a lot of pressure, and I just tell you is that you need to go to the one that can uphold it and can lift it. And he invites us to come to him. And then in verse 9, the Lord said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And he's talking about the oceans, the seas. And the waters of the oceans to this day do not rise above sea level. They all have a common bed. And but because we live under sin and under fallenness, we know that the boundaries are still the same, but there's things like tsunamis and other things that take place because of man's fallenness. And that Japanese tsunami, can we ever get over those images? That was just so awful. But I don't have to look very far. I just have to look at man. Just even last week, we had a man go berserk down there in that stone quarry. I don't know how many he tried to kill. He was killed. And it seems like all around us, we see lives collapsing and broken hearts and broken homes and broken hopes, shattered minds and shattered emotions and shattered bodies. So I have to ask the question, what has gone wrong? People, even Christians, are building their lives on cracked foundations. It's kind of, we go by what feels right or what works and what everyone else is doing. Don't you hear that from your teens? Somebody else is doing it, Mom. How about kids today living together before they get married? Well, that's what everybody does. You got to try it out, you know. I think if my husband and I had tried out, we probably would have killed each other and not gotten married, that's for sure. Oh, he's a nice guy. So, but for the sake of tolerance or political correctness, we've kicked God out of everything. Do you realize that? We kicked him out of public schools. We kicked him out of our courts. We've kicked him out of just about everything. And it really bothered me when I was thinking about this last summer, that one woman, it took one woman to get prayer out of public schools. And I kept sitting on that and thinking about that. Yeah, she's dead. She knows now.
Her son's a Christian.
Yeah, but the point is, we often as Christians say, what can I do? I'm just one person. But she got it out of the public schools. Where was the church? You know, I keep asking that question. Where was the church? Why didn't we stand up? Well, what are the results of that? We've grown morally and spiritually weak. There's no vacuums. And I feel like our country is like a time bomb just waiting to go off. We can't have done all the things we've done and expect it to run. But the Bible tells us there's only one foundation, Jesus Christ. And he never changes, and he never will leave you. He never will forsake you. Nothing can separate you from his love. His grace is sufficient. It's especially made strong in weakness. So if you're sitting here today and saying, man, you know, I've got this problem, or I'm weak about this, just know that he can be very strong in a situation like that. But I think it's just we don't ask him. You know, we try to tough it out. You know? But his word never fails. His promises are true. And I just say that if you've got something you're struggling with, you need to find verses to claim and to pray. It's so incredibly important. Everything he says will come true. Well, on the third day, he made all the vegetation. I just wish I could have just peeked at that, how beautiful it must have been. No weeds. Can you imagine? And it was very good. Isn't that? It's just so neat to read that. And it was very good. That God was pleased with what he had made. Did you know there's 5,000 different kinds of grasses? If you're allergic to them, you got a lot to be allergic to. But isn't it neat? I sometimes think about that and I think, what a variety. What an amazing God we have that makes every snowflake different and makes grasses different. And have you ever noticed the trees have different colors of green? You know, what if everything were in black and white? Or what if everything was just plain old green? But God has such an infinite variety. And this time of year, it's so wonderful to be able to see some fall foliage. Oh, it's all around because the leaves are falling everywhere. But it's great. What a great God. So I hope you're not allergic to grass because that's a bad one. So he just commanded and all these things came into existence. And did you notice the expression after its kind? You'll find it 10 times. That is so important because it knocks evolution right out of the ballpark. God didn't create something and then it intermingled with something else. A horse is a horse, a dog is a dog, a cat is a cat. You have varieties, but they don't crossbreed. It's something to realize after its kind. The characteristics are planted in the genes. Our DNA is so complicated, but all DNA is complicated. And you look at that twisty little circle and you think, man, if you were missing one of those, you'd have some kind of a disease or some kind of a complicated something. But isn't it wonderful? And man tries to tinker with these things and to reinvent, and all he does is what he makes proves to be harmful or lethal or useless to the original organisms that they originally were. Now, Kate Andrews has studied this with her kids, and she said that all that man can come up with is, I'm going to mess this up. Mm-hmm. Something to the fact that right and left-handed DNA, proteins, and we get it, if man works with it, he gets it on both sides, but only we reproduce left-handed proteins. Cool.
God made us with all left-handed.
Isn't that amazing?
And man hasn't been able to recreate.
Yeah, thank God. Thank God. It's amazing what the Lord has done. You know, we are not simple. We are very complicated.
So
verse 14.
I don't understand. Why are we right-handed?
And it's just the way the DNA is put together.
Okay, well, we'll just talk about
it. She has more information on it. She said she'd bring it. So, I don't understand it. Right or left, wouldn't matter. Go right over my head. So, okay, verses 14 and 6 through 16, this is so cool. But God said, let there be lights in the firmament and the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be signs and seasons and for days and years. Let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. I just kind of wanted to emphasize the fact, and he made the stars also. We have libraries that are filled up with books on astronomy. And isn't it interesting, Moses didn't say, well, our moon is bigger than our sun. Now this week, I think probably tonight, if there's no clouds, you can drive out towards the east and towards Pleasanton, and you'll see a harvest moon. And they're really huge. And isn't it amazing Moses didn't write down the moon was bigger than our sun? Well, because God gave him the instruction to make it right, the lesser light. And did you see what he had to say about the stars? He dismisses the creation of all the stars in space with five words. He made the stars also. I love that. Because we have so much astrology have over the years, and God says, no big deal. What a perspective of truth. It takes 50 chapters in the Old Testament to talk about worship and the tabernacle, and he takes five words and dismisses all the stars. God obviously looks at things different than we do. The Bible is a handbook of redemption. Praise God. And we need to remember that God has no problem creating, but to redeem us, he had to suffer. Don't forget that. God is more interested in people than he is in planets. He's more interested in souls than he is stars. Remember, scientists tell us that there are more stars in space than all of the sand on all of our seashores. And guess what? They're all named and numbered by Almighty God. This just blows my mind sometimes. When you start realizing how big he is, whoa, and how powerful he is. It's amazing. But God dismisses all the stars with just five words, and he made the stars also. Everywhere there's life, Moses wrote it down, and he had dominion over it all and was all prepared for man. The Lord must have just delighted in his creation and to think he was going to put man in it to enjoy it. And it was just teeming with life. So God created Adam. We're going to be looking at this again when we get into chapter 2, but I found a few facts in Dr. John Phillips' book that I want to pass on to you, because I don't think this way. And when you start thinking this way, it's kind of nice. The Holy Spirit does not say that man was created in the image and likeness of the beast. God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, in his nature, person and personality, in his moral and spiritual capacities, in his emotion, his intellect, his conscience, and will. Man stands apart from all the brute beasts of creation. God begins with man's moral and spiritual nature and relates man to God. You have to think of these questions. What animal learned to cook food? Yeah, let me know. I'll take him home with me. Or what animals experience true guilt? Have you ever seen a dog admire a sunset? No. As much as we try to make them little peoples, they're not. And they don't, nor does a horse admire the mountains.
They bay at the moon.
That's right. I wonder why. It's the way God created them. But man doesn't, does he? No. And so what animal learned to read and write? What animal has goals or the ability to laugh? What animal has the gift of speech? He said, well, I know. I've gone to see Disney And Disney makes little animals talk. Don't we love movies like that? But it's not true, is it? And we need to think about that. Personally, evolution, the more I study God's word, the more evolution is an insult to Almighty God. Very, very troublesome. I wanted to finish with the Sabbath. Because if you were to write down the Ten Commandments, you'd have the Sabbath in there. So what are you going to do with the Sabbath? Well, Dr. John Phillips' book has just a couple sentences here, and it's so good. It said, God's Sabbath rest was soon to be broken by sin. When the Jews accused Christ of breaking the Sabbath, he replied, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work," John 5:17. That work took him to the cross, where it was finished to the satisfaction of God. Today we rest not on a special day, but in a person. Ours is not a ritual rest, but a real rest. We rest where God rests, in Christ and his finished work. And it's so true for those of us that have come to Christ in our older age, the struggle stops. When you come to him and you know that he has died for your sins and you receive that, it changes. You just don't struggle anymore. There were a couple of questions that came in last week. One was about theistic evolution, and the other was, could you be a believer of evolution and be saved? Well, let's take the first one. Theistic evolution is where it's believed that God started things and then he backed off or just went off and he allowed everything to evolve. Well, scripture isn't going to let us get away with that, and nor should we. He's very much involved, praise God. And then, can you believe in evolution and be saved? Yes, I was one of those persons, and I was very much been brought up to believe in evolution, taught that in school and college. And I came to faith through the Minor Prophets, study of the Minor Prophets, and did not know anything really about Genesis. So I see it is that, yes, you can believe in evolution, but as you begin to study the Word of God, it's going to show you that evolution is all the fallacies of evolution. We are created in God's image to know and enjoy him forever. What a fabulous thing that is. And of course, if you are saved, then you would begin to look at the book of Genesis differently. And the Spirit of God should illuminate you to know that this is truth and what you've been taught is not. And that was my life. So, no, I believe every word of the Bible. Yeah, some of it I don't like either. So, no scissors. Anyway, let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, I thank you for your precious word. Lord, I thank you for the way that you have made each of us in this room, that we are divinely and amazingly made. To think that you thought it all through ahead of time, and that the DNA, we carry that and carry that on in our family members. Lord, it's just mind-boggling. And we thank you, Lord, for the fact that you not only went ahead and created each of us, but you knew that each of us would be fallen and sinful, and you sent your Son to die for our sins. What an amazing thing that is, that God himself, that created it all, would come in the body of a man and die for the likes of us. Oh God, may we just appreciate all that you've done, all that much more. And I pray if there's anyone here today that hasn't made that decision, hasn't followed hard after you, is not sure where their sins are, that before the day is out, they might get alone with you and say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, wash me clean of all of my sins, Lord, and make me your child today. You're only a prayer away. Help us, Lord, to come to grips with your word and to love it and to chew on it and to live by it. Oh, God, grant us to live by it, for the days ahead look like they're going to be very troubled. And we need to be strong and have our roots down. Bless each of these ladies, Lord. And for those that couldn't be here today, may they be encouraged to keep going, even though it's hard. And we'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.